From the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Towards us. Thank you for bringing us together again here Sunday morning. We love you, we appreciate you, we pray. Lord, you speak to us, you affect our lives. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Wow, you may be seated, please. Hallelujah. All right, so we're looking at how to identify anointed people. And I want you to look at it this way. Somebody who is anointed is somebody who God is with. Who God approves. Who God uses. Now, that person is somebody who God will use to change your life and promote you and bless you. Should I go back? I'm saying that. Why do we want to learn how to identify anointed people? Why? Why am I not pouring oil on you this morning and praying for your problems and your situation to end? Why am I teaching how? You see, how means you will grow in wisdom. The how it is done. Was that a series on TV some time ago? Or some how is made? It's a very interesting program. There are some things that you use that you'll be very surprised to see how it's made. And some of them, when you see it, you never eat them again. Like, yeah, chocolate and ice cream. When you see how they put milk and butter and egg. When you see ice cream, you say, you? Nah. I saw how they make you. I don't like you anymore. So how? Why are we teaching you? You have to. I think you should. You should really let this thing stick with you. Why is my pastor preaching the message he's preaching? What am I expected to learn from them? I think if you come to church with that in mind, it will help you. Because I am teaching you about how to identify anointed people. Why is it important to get or develop that skill to know people who are anointed? And why should I even know anointed people even to start with? So there are two things we are trying to do. A certain eye, because there's a certain eye we don't have. We don't have certain eyes. I tell you. We just went on a trip. We returned the other day. And Calvin is in Canada. He's also gone. He used to be here, Basman, big stomach, walking around, collecting offering. But he's also gone. Now he's become important. He went to Barbados. He was inside. And many people have never traveled before. And this church will make you go to places you even be surprised in your life. Since I joined this church, I have made journeys that I don't know how else I would have traveled. And anywhere you go, you are treated as a VIP too. It's too fantastic. Hey, you want to go up, you have to go out. You should quote me on Facebook. Because, if you want to go up, go out. BVCA. Hashtag. Calvin happened to be in my group, so somehow by divine providence. So we got out of, we're in Trinidad, we got out. And when we're in the line, immigration line to go out, one of those people who help, I don't know whether they're immigration officers or not, but they kind of coordinate, make sure that people are in order and everything to go to an immigration officer. So at a point they came and then they asked
You know, you have the visitors one side, CARICOM and nationals of the country on one other, the other side. Now, that side that has CARICOM and Trinidadian nationals of the country, then the woman comes and asks them whether they are Trinidadians. And then she moves the Trinidadians to another place. The same thing happens in Suriname. If you cross the, if you go with the ferry and you cross, you go over. They tell, Suriname passport? They put you on a different side. So Calvin was saying, how come when we go to, when we go home, they don't do that to us? I said, ah, it's a good lesson. If you don't travel, there are so many things you will not know. You have a line, you are saying that CARICOM, I have a CARICOM passport. CARICOM and Trinidadians, we are all there. Now you come there and you move Trinidadians, you separate them from us. But when you come home, no matter who you are, nobody minds you. In fact, yesterday, there's not even diploma to anything. Everybody is in one line. I don't know, because of the renovations of what they are doing there or something, but it's bad. So all of that, you it's a benefit, but it's not even something you look for. There's something that happens. And it all happens when you become who God wants you to be. You see, most of the things that we want in our lives, we will not get them the way we must get them unless we fall in the plan of God. And the plan of God for your life is that you will rise up and become fruitful. That's the thing. If you look, you see, so how to identify anointed people? And I'm saying that the subject is anointed people. Lloyd, I think you should leave them all. Because you end up disturbing me yourself. So you listen, right? Ashes can backslide. Bishop said it, isn't it? Ashes can backslide. Because they get so caught up with their job that they don't hear what has happened. So please, just listen to me. So, let the place be a little free. Otherwise, it'll be like we're in the barracks. Let it be freedom. Amen. The subject is anointed people. And anointed people, we need to identify them. Why? Because they are God's source of blessing to us. You see how you didn't even say amen? Again, it's not even the better amen you can give. This amen is not acceptable at all. Your promotion in life will come from somebody meeting somebody who's anointed. Don't joke with it. Your promotion in life, your prosperity in life, your moving forward in life will come from God's anointed person in your life. By a prophet, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. The Lord himself did not bring us out by himself. He used an anointed person. Many people are so deceived in the fact that, you see, when you come to church, the church works by the man of God. God is not interested in you, but interested in his servant. Or his interest in you comes through his vessel. Anytime God chose to do anything on earth, up to today, up to next tomorrow, he's going to use a man. You and I, our job is to identify that person and connect to it. Let me tell you, GPL. GPL has, they have generators all over Guyana that generates electricity. Now, if you want to press your shirt, do you take your pressing iron and go to one of the GPL centers and connect your iron to the generator? You go to Sophia? You can't even take it. You will die by doing that. But what you and I do is the breakdown and the finishing part of the point in your house. The point that is there in your house. Even that we have to be careful whether it's 220 or 110. Then you connect your iron. You connect your blender. You connect your TV. If you take your TV to GPL, it means that every day you have to take your TV to GPL. You ain't able with that. So that is how God works. God is like the GPL power generation point. And then because we cannot relate with him on a daily basis, he has connected himself to people here on earth who we can simply connect to in our homes, in our areas, in our countries, in our neighborhoods. So that you can connect your nice phone, your nice Samsung, your nice blue plum phone, you can connect to it. Before you realize, it's charged. In the same way, there are people walking here on earth who have that power that God has with him. God has donated some of the power to them. Now, you and I have to identify those people so that we can charge our phone, so we can watch TV, so we can buy a blender. If you don't have electricity in your house, your life is different, though. If you don't, that's why when GPL comes and disconnects you, it's a whole lot of stress. Because there's no TV, there's no light, you can cook, all kinds of things will not go on if you don't have power in your house. In the same way, if you don't have a man of God in your life, I said in the same way, if you don't have a man of God in your life, if you don't have an anointed man of God in your life, in the same way, you look at you, look, let's, if I had a blackboard, we would draw you on the board and let's analyze your life. When you did not have a man of God in your life, how has your life been? Blackouts. No, I'm preaching about a very important message here. That is why what the devil wants is for you not to believe in those anointings. If you ever find one, then now the battle is how to even receive what is inside. Because the Bible says that if you believe in the Lord God, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, if you believe in the Lord God, it gives you one thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. The Bible says the last part, he says, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. He goes on to explain how you become established. There's a semicolon there. You get established by believing in his prosperous, so you shall prosper. Are we not looking for prosperity? You see, prosperity is not migrating to go to America. Prosperity is not migrating to go to Canada. Prosperity comes by believing in the prophets, the anointed people that God has for you and I. That's how prosperity comes. That's how prosperity comes. That's how prosperity comes. You cannot be a Christian and believe in prospering outside Guyana if God has not specifically told you that you should go out of the country. Because when God comes into your life, it is his prosperity comes through you identifying. So that is the problem. How do I know that this person is the one for me? Because God has somebody for you. I said God has somebody for you. He cares about you so much. He loves you so much that he has anointed a vessel for you. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. There are scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says that, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, after my heart. Why? Who is God giving the pastor to? God is giving the pastor to Odessa Franklin. Because why will God give you a pastor? Because the pastor is the one he has anointed for you. I'll give you pastors according to my heart. Not according to your choice. Because you don't even know what is good for you. He says, it is those pastors who will feed you with knowledge. Yeah, and understanding. You see, so when God anoints somebody, the person can be walking around Guyana. You can meet a person at Demico. You can meet a person even in the minibus. And you will not identify, you cannot even recognize who you are dealing with. You can come to the church and the pastor will preach. You can even get annoyed. Because you don't have the ability to be able to, the eyes to identify the anointed vessel for you. You can ask the pastors who went to the conference. You are the fire, the corrections, the rebukes. You would know that God has sent a man to come into your life and brush you up. Hey, you gotta get brush up. Yeah, many of us, it's too much hair, too much grass. They need some brush up. Because the brush, if you don't get brush up, then you get animals and all these things coming inside your life. So you need somebody with a weeding machine who weed some of those things in your life. And it's the same things that some of us, we don't even like for it to be removed. But it attracts a lot of animals. A lot of lifestyles, a lot of behaviors, a lot of thinking, a lot of doing, a lot of the ways we do things are all grasses that needs brushing up in the church by your man of God. So whenever you are feeling the message, you should be the one who should shout amen the loudest. Because you have come to understand that God loves me. That's why he has given me a pastor who is sorting me out Sunday morning in the church. Yeah. So it's very important to identify an anointed person. Because once you identify the socket, oh. No, your phone says battery low. Battery low. All right. Right, you know where the socket is. You want to watch TV? You like cricket? You are playing IPL? You want to watch cricket? You bring your TV. You connect it. It's even far better when you can take something like the messages and the videos of the anointed person to your house. Because then it's not like you have to take car and come to Easter Penitence every day, every morning to connect and watch cricket. That's why we watch preaching videos at home. That's why we listen to messages at home. Because once I know this is for me, this is anointed for me, I carry him everywhere I go. Because he is my source of promotion and prosperity and every other good thing God has in store for me. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So, we started by saying that if you want to identify such a person, because Jesus was like that, you know. Jesus was the Son of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, and he came, shorty, he came unto the... It is, even if you look at Easter Penitence, I said it when we were appointing pastors. If there's any other organization, and I'm saying this thing very, very carefully, if there's any other organization that has done far better for the people of Isla Penitence, it is Shepherd House International. Yeah. Nicholas, is that you? Yeah. You don't understand why I'm saying that, because this church has raised pastors who right here from Isla Penitence. We did not weed the park. We did not do cleaning exercise. We did not even go around and help the elderly or feed the poor or anything. But we have changed certain lives. We have worked on certain people who now are now become an extension of the gospel of Christ, who is also teaching and raising other people. Bringing light into people's darknesses. But you see, if you live in Isla Penitence, you have to identify what the
church really is doing. You see, that when we came here in the initial stages, I think at the point I got somebody to do some work, and then one of the guys came and said, Pastor, if there's work here, why don't you, engage those of us here to do the work for you? But can you guarantee me a quality work? Can you guarantee that you not take me for granted and say, me and you are right, so can you guarantee that? Will you even come to church? We should take the offering and give it to you, but will you come to church yourself? But people think that things are just like that. It's not like that. The church here, look at, that's why most of the people are not in the church, because they cannot identify what God has brought to them and what that thing is going to do for them. You know all the pastors. We mentioned their names. You know them right here in the area. Right here in the area. Race pastors. Is it fantastic? Yeah. Pastor Keith is from here. He's called Merry, Merry Christmas. But praise knows him. Merry Christmas. He used to like when Christmas comes. I hear he used to enjoy Christmas. So they gave him the nickname Merry Christmas. Huh? Pastor Keith used to be in a church, and his auntie would come from Cockerett Street with an extension drop cord. He's coming to beat him because he has not swept, he has not cleaned the house, and he's in church. Now tell me whether you like the Keith Massey now or you like the Keith Massey before. Yeah. Before and after. And I sent him last week, Sunday, to Esikwebo. And this Sunday, to he's staying in Esikwebo preaching. Which one do you want? Show him. Ah, you want to go up? You have to walk out. You have to go out. You have to go out to go up. Yeah. Places that he has never been to before. You see, and this Esikwebo, I don't know when last he went to Esikwebo, whether he's even been there before. He knows a place called Dartmouth. He knows Perseverance. Anna Regina. It's no more social studies. Oh, it is now real. I know where Anna Regina is. And that is how God is going to take you in this church from your local environment to international borders, into CARICOM, into America, all those places you'll be there. As long as you will go. He will take you higher. Yeah. So the only thing is to identify the anointed. And once you identify the anointed, when you identify something that's good for you, nobody should tell you what to do with it. The number of pictures we have of our loved ones, the people we love. Hey. Pictures here, pictures there, pictures here, pictures this, pictures there. Yeah. When they buy us gifts, even if it's chocolate, you don't want to eat it. It's that this chocolate is not eatable. It stays in the fridge. You want to look at it every time. But don't touch this. We eat it together. If we have to eat it, we have to eat it together. Now, if you find God's power, God's presence, your version of God's presence, that will help you. If you find it in a man, that is where people go around foolishly saying that is the pastor God? Why you behave like, why you treat the pastor like that? Is he God? Oh, he is somebody that God has sent into my life. And if God has sent somebody to me, how do you expect me to treat the person? I put up his picture as my DP. He's my screensaver. I play his messages. I want to hear his voice every day in the house. Yeah. You see, that is even another subject. When you finish identifying, picture in the living room, picture in the bedroom, picture in the kitchen, picture in your wallet, picture key ring, picture.
That is somebody who now understands what God is doing for them.
Amen.
That's somebody who now understands. Yeah. You see, I go to a particular bank sometimes. A particular bank. And because I have somebody who understands who I am, I get no stress when I go there.
Why should I stress?
It's because the person has identified this. They said anybody can come and stay in the line, but not my anointed servant. No, not my anointed man of God. No. He said, when you don't see me, ask for me. Don't stay in any line. It's not a blessing. In a country where people don't respect nobody. In a country where people don't respect pastors. People, because you have heard some bad news about a pastor. It is not your thing. It is the person who gave him his power. He's the person who he's actually disappointing. And that person knows what to do. Hey, God can do far better than you and I can do. If God says he doesn't want a pastor anymore, you don't have to say anything. And by the way, your disapproval of an anointed person is not equal to God's disapproval of the person. Let me say it again to let you hear properly. I said your disapproval of a man of God is not necessarily the disapproval of God, of that man of God. It's not. So when you see a man of God, and you say, what? He? What? Bishop? Bishop who? You are a fool. Because you did not choose anybody. You did not anoint anybody. And you cannot disapprove anybody. Let that sink into your spirit. If that man of God is disappointing God, it is up to God. If you don't want to go to his church, go somewhere else. But don't talk his name. I said, don't talk his name. Because there are too many examples of people who others felt they were wrong. And they did some things to them in the Bible that they regretted ever saying anything about them. Yeah. One of them, God himself came down with a helicopter. He descended. He came with Caribbean Airlines. He came down. He said, you talking about my servant? You eye pass me. No, you eye pass him. He said, you eye pass me, God. Hey, it's something else though. Understanding must come. You see, if you know something, God will not give you a pastor. Because you already have knowledge and understanding. Why should God give you a pastor to increase? No, God will give you a pastor because you don't have knowledge and you don't have understanding. So now, what are the things that will help you to know that Sister Amanda Morrow is an anointed vessel of God? That Bishop Dagwood Mills is my anointed pastor. How do I find that out? We started by saying that Jesus gave us a condition, a criteria. When John the Baptist, in the book of Luke chapter 7, and verse 18, 19, John the Baptist sent some people to Jesus to ask whether he is the Messiah. Because John knew that somebody was coming. He was even the one who said, oh, after me cometh somebody whose shoes I'm not even worthy to untie. He said, when he comes, he will do this, he will do that, he will do that. So when he was in prison and he was waiting and looking forward to be released, and he realized that Jesus did not appear, did not do any magic for him to come out, then he was doubting whether this is really, because a man of God, an anointed man of God, he does things in your life. Oh. Amen.
Your life has not changed so much because you don't have a man of God in your life. Because wherever God's presence comes, there must be a change. I said, wherever God's presence, if God walks into your house today, my dear, what's your name?
Selena.
If God walks into Selena's life, you think you'll be the same again?
No.
No. So what we must actually go for is the presence of God. And God has that in a man. So when John, who was in jail, who wanted to be free and was not getting free, he needed a miracle. So the miracle led him to ask, is there any anointed vessel here for me? So then he was even more specific because he knew that this is the vessel for me. But how come he is not doing anything? Is it possible that he is not? I was mistaken in knowing that he was the guy. And the Bible says Jesus sent his disciples back to him to tell him that if you want to know whether I'm anointed or not, it's not from my word, it's not from my mouth, it's not what I see. It is the blind are seeing. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. If you see anybody doing these things, you should say, I've seen one. I have identified one. Come. Let me show you something. You see the Bible? They like me. Let me show you the Bible. You see the Bible? The Bible. Yeah. What do you think? Nice guy. Nah? In the same way, when you identify an anointed person, you say, Cheeky. You know something, girl, I will tell you something. Come on, I'll show you something. You see that man? He's from God. He's from God. Get, like you and I are talking about, man. That is what the woman did in John chapter 4. When she had the encounter with Jesus, nobody told her to go and tell somebody. So when you cannot tell somebody about Jesus and bring the person to church, something is missing. Should I say it again? I should not tell you to bring somebody to church. You, by how you have been able to identify and understood God's provision in a servant in your life, you yourself, when you hear somebody talking about a problem, you say, girl, problem? Don't you know that these days I don't have such problems? My problems are other problems, not these ones. Amen. And you know the solution? My man of God. Amen. And the person says, hey, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I want to tell you that God has a solution for you. So when you see those people who move around churches, today this church is doing this, they go. This church, they... Please. Because God says, I'll give you. What then you need to find out is, God, where is mine? And don't go to church until God tells you which one. Once he shows you that, you die right there in the church. I say you die right there in the church. That is why some of us are dying right where we are. Because apart from what we have now, I don't see where. Where? Nazarene Church? Wesleyan Church? St. Pius? Salvation Army? Is it because the church is in my neighborhood? A church in your neighborhood does not necessarily mean that that is God's church for you. It's you who is making closeness become very important. Closeness, and it's not that important. Yeah. When God met Abraham, he said, leave your comfort zone and go somewhere. Abraham's blessings wasn't in his neighborhood. When you find a blessing in your neighborhood, it's an extra love and care
God has shown to you. Because whilst others are traveling from all corners to come to where you walk, you must consider yourself such a great blessing. These are the needs. You should say, man, when you wake up in the morning, you should jump in your house and say, God, I don't know why you bless me right here in my neighborhood. When somebody has to come all the way from south, from north, from East Bank, East Coast, Sophia, to come to her. So, Lord, I don't know what I would have. Lord, please. Is it, but the thing is that we don't understand a lot of things. And that's why you have a pastor. To show you and help you understand. Is Afane, are you there? Yes, Afane comes from Peter's Hall, East Bank. To come to church. And you just walk. 3 minutes you are here. And even when you have to walk, you wait until his praise and worship. That's when you come to the church. You see how you cannot even handle blessings. So to identify one, you have to see the things that have been done. And we are saying that for this man of God here to have 3,000 churches. Somebody said something that was very funny but real. Now, he doesn't just have 3,000 churches. He has 10 denominations. When you say 10 denominations, you mean it's like 10 groups of churches. So you have the Catholic Church, you have the Nazarene, the Full Gospel. 10 of that comes together. Now, he, Bishop, has 10 of that. And somebody said that, you don't respect the man. You, when you go to church, your Sunday morning service, his denomination is bigger than your the number of people in your church on a Sunday morning. He has 10 denominations. You have 8 people in your church on a Sunday morning. We are not talking about the individual churches. We are talking about the groups of churches. He has 10 of them. And that alone is bigger than your one church. It must tell you that this man has something. This man is anointed. This man, if he is my bishop, then this is the man I have to connect. Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. Because he is my man of God. When the widow in Zarephath, discovered who Elisha was, he said, let's build a womb. If the man is passing, it's because I can't keep him in my house. But if he's passing and he's spending the night in this town, Isla Penitence, I'll be there. It should be my house. Because I know who that is. I know, even though he doesn't look so attractive, he's my man of God. The things they do, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. It's one of the signs of an anointed person, to identify an anointed person. Number two, we say, you identify the anointed by the sign of what? Hey, is the church empty now? What's the second means by which you identify an anointed person? The anointed person does usual things with unusual things with ease. Holy, you get it. Unusual things with ease. Unusual things with ease. It is not easy. It is not easy to do so many things in this world. But when you look at some people, they seem to, it's like you don't even know whether they have problems or not. Many of us pastors, if we don't have money, you will never know. Are you? The fact that you didn't even come to church means that you don't have money. That's number one manifestation of your lack of money. How can you pray and somebody who is not walking gets up to walk? If everybody can do that, then let's go to Georgetown. Let's close down Georgetown. If every one of us can pray for the sick to be healed, then let us
close down. We shouldn't have Georgetown. Nobody should be hospitalized. Because Sister Carla can do the same things. No. The unusual thing of making a sick person well comes so easy. Because these people carry the power and the presence of God with them. And what God would have done if he was here is the same thing that person would do. So Nicodemus said that nobody does these things that you, Jesus, you do. He said, the things you do, I have compared you to people here in Jerusalem. And I have come to realize that the things you do, no, I've never seen it before. It tells me that you got the supernatural with you. You have God with you. Because these are things only God can do. And if you are able to do these things, just like I see you do it, get up, take thy bed and walk. Hey, take thy bed and walk. Sick for years. All you say is that, get up, take your bed and walk. Did I tell you I can't take my bed? But Jesus said, take your bed and walk, and that is it. Everybody begins to wonder. Jesus used to do things with ease, unusual things with ease. You see, 500,000 people, 1 million people gathered in the stadium to listen to Bishop. It's like, look at us, we're looking for 700 people the other day. We got about 500 or so, but it's not easy to get 700. If you like, you also go and do some lessy. Yeah. There are things that people can't normally do. You can't tell somebody, leave Georgetown and go to Essequibo this month. I want you to go. And then the person just, yes, and take. No passage. You don't give me passage and I just go. You wait and see. I'm going to get text messages from you after church. You see. And you are going to go out so you can go up. I say you are going to go out so you can go up. Yeah. But it's not easy to do that. It's not usual. That's how sometimes we don't even like it. Because the usual thing is for me to be here all the time. Every Sunday. When you come, you must see me on stage. You don't want to see no Reverend Isan, no Reverend Rabbi. You want to see Bishop on stage all the time. That's the usual thing. Yeah. And when you don't see me, it's the unusual thing. If you can do it with ease, it means you're anointed. Yeah. Number three, and we are closing. An anointed person. So I'm showing you something else. You analyze Bishop Dagwood Mills and see whether he's an anointed person or not. I leave it to you. I leave it to you. Analyze your local bishop and see if he has something small from him too. You analyze it. When you analyze it, you come to the conclusion. Then you must change the way you do things. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. We'll take one point and we'll close. I'm excited you're here. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias, which is Elijah, must first come? Verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias or Elijah truly shall come first. Jesus said, it's true. Yes, Elijah definitely must come first and restore all things. So he goes on to verse 12 and he says, but I am saying unto you that Elijah who must come has come already. Why didn't the people notice him? Because they did not have the skill and the knowledge to identify somebody who has the spirit of Elijah. Are you here? Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Are your eyes closing? No. Are your eyes opening? Yes. The people are discussing Elijah coming back and then, you know, restoring things before a particular time. And Jesus said, yes, you are right. You read it well in the scriptures. But I'm surprised, or I'm sorry to surprise you and disappoint you, that this Elijah that you are expecting, he has already come and gone. Wow. Or he has come. He said, he's come already, and they knew him not. Wow. Our problem is that most of the time we don't know how God is doing things and where God is doing the thing. But you shall know and you shall identify from today. He said, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed or whatsoever they liked. So not only did the people not identify or recognize Elijah when he came back, the people also treated him anyhow. Which tells us that if you really see Elijah, or if you see an anointed person, your behavior towards him must change. If you don't know, it's different. But once you identify one, you say, hey. That's why when Mary saw Angel Gabriel, he said, what's this? What are you doing in my house? People don't come like this to my house. White people with white clothes and wings don't come into my house. No. I don't. I had one of our pastors, Prophet Kakra, went to one of our churches, and he was walking. The pastor came to meet him outside, so they were walking up to the office. And then, as they were walking, then Prophet Kakra said, so is that how you do things here? It's like there's a woman praying. Look at the lady praying. Is that how, you know, you run things here? And the pastor of the church said, where? Which woman? Then Prophet himself even realized that, he's seeing something that is not usual. Because to him, he was just walking up the stairs and he saw a woman in the corner praying. So he asked the pastor, hey, Charlie, you do things here. Is that how you do it? He said, look at the lady praying there. And the pastor of the church said, where? Which lady? Then Prophet Kaka now realized that he had actually entered in the spirit easily. I mean, it was so normal for him. It was then they actually realized that there was some Obia woman who was doing a lot of things in the church. Yeah. So what he saw was actually an evil spirit that was doing things against the working of the church. Charlie, it's not easy to do unusual things with ease. When something's unusual and you do it with ease, it's not so easy. So Jesus said, John the Baptist has come. And then you didn't know. And therefore you treated him anyhow. He said, likewise shall also the Son of Man also suffer of them. Because if they didn't see Elijah, how can they see me? So I am also going to suffer just like Elijah suffered. John the Baptist suffered. He goes on and he says, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, why didn't the people recognize John? The third point is that you identify the anointed by the peculiarities of his life. Peculiarities of his life. Peculiar. The anointed man is identified by the peculiarities of his life.
Are you there? The peculiarities of his life. So this one is not the blind see, the lame walk. It's not doing unusual things with ease. But this one, the man has some things about him that are very, very peculiar. You get it? He has some weird things. Now, if you look at Elijah, if you look at Elijah, that Jesus said John the Baptist came like him. John, Elijah didn't have a place to stay. Elijah's home was more in the wilderness. It was peculiar because everybody lives in a house. This guy, he doesn't have a place to stay. Those peculiar things even make you despise and not even see them in a certain way. John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was wearing camel's hair. You are wearing pants and shirts and suit and tie. John was just animal skin that he used as his clothing. And he always will have a stick. And he wasn't shaving his head, because the Bible says that God told Elizabeth that no razor shall touch his hair. So can you imagine somebody who grew up with hair on his head? This beard. We will go to the barber to line up and take a line and do hairstyles, mohawk, and all these kind of fantastic things we do. This guy grew up to about 30 years old, not seeing a razor or scissors or a machine, anything on his head. So you can imagine how his hair looked like, how his beard looked like, and how his face looked like. On top of that, he's wearing animal skin, covering just the most important part of his body. Now, if somebody tells you that this is Elijah who has come again, what would you say? Is that by? This dumb old man? You call Elijah? But Jesus says that John the Baptist was the Elijah who was supposed to come. The Bible says that John the Baptist, his meal, his food was locust and honey. If you take somebody, a preacher said one day, if you take John the Baptist to the restaurant, he'll disgrace you. Why? Because for him it's easy. He picks them and eats them. If you take him to the restaurant, then you are going to say that. Even the food, he will not eat the food. No knife, no fork, no spoon, nothing. He will try with his hand, but even the thing that they cooked for him, he was raw. I think sometimes I see dragonflies when I'm going up. And I'll ask Daniel, don't you eat these things? You know, John the Baptist, I've just picked them up like that. Crunchy, nah? Spicy and crunchy. Very peculiar. Very peculiar. Very peculiar. Bishop says he has only one shoe. How many men in this world have one shoe? Bishop, he only has one shoe. Chris, how many shoes do you have? Not one. It can be one. So it makes this man now very, very unusual, very peculiar. How can you survive on one shoe? At least about three or four black shoes, so that you wear this Sunday, you wear that the other Sunday, and then you change them. And many of us have tried wearing one shoe, but it doesn't work. You can't wear one shoe going about everywhere. Here, you go here, you go out, visitation, this year, evangelism, church Tuesday, church Sunday, school, one shoe. Ah, please. Every month you buy a shoe. Just buy three or four or five and just wear it. One a day. One day when your lifestyle is at a certain level, that you probably, you see that you probably may be able to, with the anointing of God, be able to just wear one shoe.
John the Baptist was peculiar. Jesus said, John came. He said, well, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, his waist, and his meat was not chow mein. His meat wasn't MTMJ. His meat was locust and wild honey.
When he eats locust, grasshoppers, he's okay. He can walk for days. You and I, if we don't eat one day. Someone say wind. Hurricane, not wind. One small fasting, you are seeing wind. You're lying down. You're lying down. Oh, me belly. Wind? Just fart. Simple. Let the wind come out. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say he has a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man. So John's lifestyle was very, very weird. Very, very weird. Very, very peculiar. Now, that is also how anointed people, their lives can be very peculiar. You should not look at that and let it put you off or let you not recognize what God is doing. Most men of God have peculiar lifestyles. Things that you are not used to. When you look at them, how he could do that? How he could behave like that? How he could live like that? Sometimes even as if we have to shout. I was telling Reverend Ralph, I said, when I want to have a meeting, all I have to do is that with the cell leaders, all I have to do is just come down and just come and stand here. Everybody will come. You are afraid not to come. I see Reverend Ralph can come and stand here. And people say, oh, maybe he's trying to see whether the chairs are arranged well or something. It's not easy at all. It takes a certain anointing, you know. I tell you, you can just walk and nobody will pay attention to you. But let the anointed person come and walk around. All eyes. People are even following him. But if you are not anointed, you come around. It's like, no, nobody has seen you. Yeah, it's like. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching long because it's raining, but my time is up. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Because why are you going? We've got you here anyway, so I should preach plenty. Hallelujah. Yeah. How to identify anointed people. I remember one day in Europe, one pastor asked a young lady who used to be a prostitute. The pastor asked her, what did I do to her for her to stop prostitution? The lady said, I don't understand your question. I just go to church and the man preaches and somehow I've been affected by his messages. It is, you need the anointing. And even all the anointing, it comes from the anointed vessel too. Peculiar, unusual. I used to have prostitutes in my church. Prostitutes. People who used to do prostitution and who stopped and still stayed in the church. Yeah, one of my faithful church members from Europe up to today. They were once prostitutes. Hey, how can a man change a prostitute's life? Very, very, very peculiar. How he could do that? How he could do that? It's anointing. Hallelujah. thing. So you see, this message, unlike what sometimes we're used to, you know, we like prayer. Prayer is nice. We all like to be prayed for. But to identify something, it's not by prayer. It's by knowing. How do you identify a Chinese product from an original product? Or how do you identify counterfeit money from real money? It's not prayer. You say, Father, as I hold this 5,000 Granger in my left and this Granger in my left, I pray that, Lord, you cause angels to show me which one is good and which one is not good. When you go to the shop, they don't pray. Take the money and they put it under some light. Some people even have some, a little bit like a marker, a pen in it. You are praying whether your money is good or bad. No. In the same way, to locate anointed, to be blessed by the anointed, it's not about, oh Lord, help me see. No, not help see. We have given you points. You should take the point and put it next to the person. Come. Okay, so I have this one here. And you put the points I've taught you. You put it like that. And then you look. Number one. Number two. Nah, number three. Not here. You got wrong. That's how you identify. In the same way, to get a wife or a husband is the same thing. Yeah. How do I identify a good girl I can marry? It's not by this. Because as for this, I can also put some on. Doesn't mean you choose me. Yeah. I can go and buy some, do all kinds of something like this. Doesn't mean that I'm the one. Hey, you like men now? So it's not this. As for these things, don't be moved by them. In a similar way, don't be moved by these things. You can be very unhappy with something. Something you need gathering service to make use of. It's true. Identify one is not by the colors of their mouth or their lips. Colors here. They even look like masqueraders. Halloween, somebody says. That is not how you identify at all. Some of you say, oh, I like her color. I want Douglas children. Your head ain't good. Your head ain't good. I want my children's hair to be straight. You kill yourself after you get a children. You commit suicide. How to identify? You must have the keys to identify. Bing bo bom doesn't mean that you'll be happy with him. Yeah. Having a big buttocks is not equal to being happy in life. Otherwise, all the big buttocks people would have been happy. Marissa. Don't look at people. Look at the Bible and the scriptures. God will bless you as long as you know what He wants you to know about. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for what the Bible describes as the incorruptible seed, the word of God. I thank you for the effect of this message. I thank you for the effect of this preaching, The Bible says that the words that you speak unto us, they are spirit and they are life. Thank you for the spirit that came out, that is even still lingering and moving and walking, that we, your people and your children, will know the people of sending to our lives. And you continue to send. May we not despise them. May we not treat them anyhow. May we honor them. May we bless them. May we reverence them. May we respect. May we adore them. And thank you even for such people. I want to thank you that Shepherd House International, we are not ignorant about our prophet, Dr. Doug Heward Mills. Thank you for his life. And thank you for the many blessings that we are experiencing through him. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, you are here this morning. You are not saved. You are not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You are here this morning. You are not saved. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to encounter Jesus. I promise you that if you encounter Jesus, your all your life, every aspect of it, will also be affected. Your life will change. Pastor, please, my right hand is up. Pray for me. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. Your right hand. God bless you. Lift it up high so I can see. Lift it up high so I can see. God bless you. Pastor, please pray for me. Yeah. Lift up your right hand. You are small, so your hand is not high. I can't see well. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me right now. Come to the front quickly. Come. Oh, clap for them. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You dress up. God bless you. Wow. Young girls, young boys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. To Jesus. God bless you. Come, are you coming? Young boys and girls. Hey.
Give him.
Sweetie. Honey. Punky. Shake my hand. God bless you.
Come.
God bless you. You are coming. Come quickly. You want to come quickly. Come on to Jesus. Come on.
Come on to Jesus.
If you are coming, come quickly. I want to pray with you. I want to give your life to Christ.
Your heart today. Come on to Jesus.
Let him have his way. Close your eyes with me, church. Close your eyes if you're here in front. And pray this prayer after me. You said you want Jesus to come into your heart. All we're going to do is that we're just going to ask Jesus to do that. And believe it from the bottom of your heart that when you ask, he will come into your heart. So say this prayer with me. Church, join in as we sit together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose again from the dead. I confess Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. Because I open my heart right now and I invite Jesus Christ to come in and make my heart his home. I know my life has changed. I know my life is never the same again. Because I am born again. I'm a brand new person. My name is written in the book of life. And I'm now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for sustaining me and preserving me for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for everyone who came to the front. Keep them. My only prayer is that you will preserve them and you will keep them. If you don't keep them, we cannot keep them. The Bible says it is you who can keep us from falling. Keep these ones from falling. So that on that day when you come, they can be presented blameless in your presence. I rebuke the power of the devil. I rebuke the power of distractions. I believe the power of, I cancel the power of circumstances and anything that will come their way as teenagers and as young people to disturb and to distract them from following you. Every work of the enemy to keep them back from their destiny, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that they will serve you for the rest of their days. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.